If you believe assault is an act, not an adjective, your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. What do you believe? Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener. Because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The Two-Way Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live, right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
Yeah. Good morning, everyone. Man, that just gets you up and punches you right straight in the face, doesn't it? Man, I love that. Whether you like it or not, that rocks. Okay, here we go. Thank you very much, RJ Hinder and crew. Another fine addition. Thank you very much for sending your audience this way. I welcome everybody, good folks listening to RJ Hinder, and incorporated you in with the 2A Radio family. I'm feeling good. So, a little bit of housekeeping, guys. First of all, right here at RBN, Republic Broadcasting, we're always trying to spread the word and get the truth and the information out there to the masses. Well, we could always use a little bit of help from friends. So, for $8, $8, that's it, and it's flat fee, $8, you can get 100 generic RBN cards. I say generic because they don't have anybody's name and title on them that you can hand out. And these are good looking cards. These are not just some sort of cheap thing that came off a laser printer or bubble jet. These are very nice printed cards. Now, I come from a printing background. I was raised in a print shop. I know what good work is and I know what garbage shortcuts are. This is good looking stuff. For $8, you can get 100 of these cards to hand out. You can also, it also comes with a bumper sticker, that's included, as well as a free copy of Aaron Russo's America, From Freedom to Fascism. If you have not seen this particular video, it's a movie, it's a documentary that Aaron Russo did. It was his last project before he died of cancer. And RBN's own Dave Champion happened to be one of Aaron's consultants on this movie, because he goes into a lot of things dealing with taxes as well. It's a very, very encompassing movie. I saw this thing a couple years ago. It is great. And again, Dave Champion, he has his show here on RBN Monday through Friday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon Central Time. He has the hour just before John Stadtmiller comes on. So he had involvement in Freedom to Fascism. And with that being said, $8 is going to get you the 100 business cards, the bumper stickers, and Aaron Russo's Freedom to Fascism. And you can get that one of two ways. You can either send the $8 in to 2251 Double Creek Boulevard. That's two different words. Double, then Creek, I guess three different words, then Boulevard, Suite 302. Okay? That's in Round Rock, two different words, Texas, TX, 78664. Or you can call up. You can call 800-724-2719, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time. 800-724-2719, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time. And you can get all of this, the 100 cards, as well as the bumper sticker, as well as Aaron Russo's copy, From Freedom to Fascism, for $8. So take care of that. Got plenty of news, information, commentary, all that great stuff coming up in the rest of the show. So stay tuned. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio.
Radio with Bill Carnes is live. 1-800-313-9443.
And welcome back, folks. You all know that I am a huge supporter of training with your guns. I actually was having the discussion with a good friend and colleague of mine yesterday about how people seem to go out and spend money on guns, but they don't necessarily spend much money on getting ammunition to run through those guns, or especially the training on how to use those guns. You might find somebody that, you know, has maybe a couple of rifles, a shotgun, maybe a couple of handguns, and then they get just high on the idea of having all these really cool guns that are out there, or building up these specially chambered AR-15s, or, you know, in something goofy like a 223 WSSM in an AR-15, or 243 WSM in an AR-15, something like that. But then they never really have much ammunition to run through these guns, and they certainly don't get training for those guns. I'm a huge fan of learning to shoot and running your guns properly. One of the best ways to get some initial good, solid training with a rifle is through the Appleseed Project. The Appleseed Project does weekend courses at different places all over the country throughout the entire year. Some people are allowed to take this thing for free. The other people that don't qualify for the free class are out a whopping $70. Now, you might also have to pay like $5 or $10 for a range fee or something. But the Appleseed Fund, it's a nonprofit organization with volunteers who go through quite a bit of training to be able to teach these courses. The whole thing is sponsored by the Revolutionary War Veterans Association. So the RWVA has volunteers that go out and they teach people at these Appleseed Project events. And you get to spend two solid days going through essentially what was the Army basic rifle qualification course, and then learning some history about the Revolutionary War and how the United States actually became its own country from a tyrannical British rule. On the line right now, I would like to welcome my friend Eric Severson. Eric, welcome to the show. Eric, please don't tell me that you're not there.
I'm here, Bill. Can you hear me?
There we go. How are you, my friend?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Talk to me a little bit about Appleseed.
What Appleseed is I like to say, we're going to restore the tradition of the American rifleman, the heritage of the American rifleman. America used to be a nation of riflemen. Most grown men had a rifle and knew how to use it, and that's not really the case anymore.
No, it is
and
not.
Our goal, okay?
I said, no, it is not.
No, and our goal is to restore that heritage of the rifleman. The heritage, as we see it, started on April 19, 1775. As we say, it's on our T-shirts. It's where history met marksmanship and the heritage began. The main reason, one of the main reasons we kicked the British butts on that day was our guys were just better shots than the British, flat out. The militias trained every weekend sometimes, and they were just better shots. The British mostly shot high. Their tactic was just shoot high to scare them off and then run them through with their bayonets, whereas our guys shot to hit their target.
Well, part of that being because the Americans, or the colonists, I guess they were at the time, didn't have bayonets.
No, they were
out-weaponed.
Yes. Bayonets were very expensive and time-consuming to make back then, and not very many of the colonial militias had them. So it was a pretty dicey situation back then. And kind of my philosophy on it is, and a lot of people agree with me, is what my goal is when I shoot Boston Appleseed is to get the folks to understand the price that was paid to secure our freedom and liberty. And a lot of people can tell you, you know, that July 4th, 1776, that the Declaration of Independence was signed. They can tell you that the final battle was Yorktown. They can tell you a little bit. They know what the Boston Tea Party was to some extent. But when you really understand the price that was paid and respect that and understand that, then you will do something about it. You won't just sit around and then, you know, complain about you know, the stupid laws being passed, you'll start writing your congressman. You'll start getting active.
You know,
that's really the goal of Appleseed, is to get people off the couch and get involved in turning the country around.
You know, Eric, it's one of those things you said about liberty. And here's a quote from former Vice President Dick Cheney, which is an excellent quote. He says, "It is easy to take liberty for granted when you have never had it taken from you."
That's right. That's right. That's a very good quote.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to ask. Now, you guys, Appleseed started in 2004, is that correct?
I believe so, yes.
Okay.
I've been in the program a little over a year.
Okay, so in a, what was it, maybe a couple of dozen Appleseed courses were run in 2004, and each year,
right.
it's almost doubled. It sounds like, what are the what's the anticipation of Appleseed on how many courses you think you're going to run across this great nation in 2010?
Well, I can tell you right now, I just did the numbers right before I called. As of this moment, we have 292 shoots scheduled already, including 78 shoots on April 17th and 18th to honor the day of April 19th.
Fantastic. So you're rolling out everybody involved in Appleseed, it sounds like.
Pedal to the metal, full steam ahead.
Fantastic.
Our goal is our 40,000.
Eric, tell me, where you actually run now, and in most traditional situations, when you have somebody that's run a firearms course, they're dubbed a range master. In Appleseed, they're dubbed a shoot boss. You are an Appleseed shoot boss. Tell me where you tend to actually go and work these Appleseed courses.
When I go to Sacramento, California. I live in California, for the listeners that don't know. I would go to California, shoot up in Santa Barbara. There's been shoots here in my hometown of Ridgecrest. I've been up by in 6th and 7th when I shoot in Boulder City. Boulder City here, at the April 7th, 8th, major really well lined up for that.
That's where Apple sat in Boulder City, and you guys did a fantastic job. It was very enjoyable.
Thanks.
Okay, so when it explains in there about the different rifles that you can use, can you talk to us a little bit about the equipment, which is commonly seen at Appleseed, and some of the types of rifles and gear that you can get away with using in there. So talk to us a little bit about what the listeners can expect to bring to an Appleseed shoot.
Okay, we like to say, you know, whatever rifle you bring, we'll get you better at it. Semi-automatic rifles tend to be the best because the Army Qualification Test, the AQT, has some time stages that are pretty quick.
Yes, they are.
Plenty of people.
Yes, they are.
There's been plenty of people that have shot riflemen with a bolt-action rifle, with 22 bolt-action. We even had a guy do it with a Springfield 1903 recently.
Oh, nice.
And, yeah, so and we used to see lots of M1As, M1 Grands, AR-15s. It's tending to lean more toward Ruger 10-22s now, maybe because of ammo prices.
Oh, yeah.
And because most of it is at 25 meters, just reduce targets, I think a Ruger 10-22 is the way to go. A lot of folks use the Marlin 795, which is a great little rifle too.
Mm-hmm.
As personal preference, I prefer the 10-22. Recommend you get a standard GI web sling. And if you have a Ruger 10-22 and you're thinking about coming to an Appleseed, there's a couple modifications I recommend you make. You can get from www.techsights.com, T-E-C-H, sites. You can get aperture sights that are adjustable, very similar to AR-15 sights.
Oh, nice.
Just a stock little, yeah, they're really nice, versus just a stock little blade sight. That's
yeah, because those stock little blade sights, you can't really sight in worth a damn on
a
10-22. No. It's rough, yeah.
No, they're brutal. And maybe an extended magazine release and an auto bolt release would help you a little bit, too.
Okay.
But you can get by without that.
Now, I'll tell you something, is when I was there, we had all kinds of different guns that were out there. On the first day, there was a guy next to me that was running an M1A, which he ran fantastically.
Yeah,
I was running.
Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, yeah, he tore it up. And he didn't care much about brass. So, I mean, and we shot a lot. My goodness. We must have shot a good 250 rounds that day, which is way more than I expected. And I collected up his extra brass. So.
Oh, good deal.
Yeah. And I was running a bolt action 308. And then my buddy Scott next to me was running his AR the second day I brought my AR. And then Scott actually, we were only able to stay there for the first run through the AQT on day two. And Scott shot Rifleman, which is the first real accomplishment he's ever had with the rifle. Because Scott, even though he's, you know, I think he's, you know, mid to late 40s, Scott, shooting is new to him. And this was one of the first things he did with the rifle. This is maybe the third course he ever took with the rifle. And he did a very good job. But the remainder of the class really was mostly the 10-22s.
Yes. It tends to be that way.
All right, Eric, hang on the line. We'll continue into the next segment. We're coming up on the break. Folks, stay tuned. We're going to talk a little bit more about the Appleseed Project with my buddy Eric Severson. And then we're going to go into some stuff going on in Arizona with Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Arpaio. Stay tuned. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio.
If you have more than 20... You can have the alcohol and tobacco. Leave the firearms to us. Right now, the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes.
Hey guys, all right, welcome back to the show. Special guest today, Eric Severson from the Appleseed Project. Now, Eric, talk to us a little bit about the fee schedule for Appleseed, and then kind of what to be expected, of course.
Okay. Like you said, it's $70. However, women and military are free. And like you said, some of the ranges have a $5, $10 a day fee. Boulder City happens to be $10 a day unless you're a member, then you don't have to pay. And kind of lit up how the weekend goes in a quick synopsis is we get there Saturday morning. We get everybody checked in, have a little bit of an engine, have a safety briefing, and then we bring the ride on the line. And before we do any instruction whatever, we have to shoot what we call a red coat target, not to kind of see where you're at target. Everybody shoots and draw start with full position. Show that, help the shooters get into it, then shoot a group of five. Then we go over the steps of firing the shot. We work to a point of aim, and we just kind of we cover IMC, inches, minutes, and clicks, and how to sight in your rifle. So we just kind of progress it that one step at a time. And then by the time we get to lunch, we'll probably start to introduce the hitting, kneeling position, and then we then get to the standing position. And we then get into transitioning from standing to sitting for front mode and shooting. And then by the end of the day, we usually can get in one, maybe two AQTs. And we finish up with a red coat, which is always really cool because you see people pull up their targets at the end of the day and compare them to the beginning of the day, and you see the difference. And it's amazing to see the happiness in people's eyes.
Well, you know, Eric, I got to tell you this, man, is – I've gone through a lot of different rifle training in my day, and I took the Appleseed just essentially to go shoot and have fun with my buddy Scott, just so we could go out and have a fun day shooting. I really didn't expect much, considering all the training and all the stuff I've ever taken as a student and all the stuff I've ever taught as a rifle instructor. And I got to tell you, I was very, very impressed with the efficiency and the, I guess, kind of the whole way that the course is taught. We go, it's a building block format. We start here, then we move on and we add this, then we move on and we add another thing. And we keep building and building and building the way that an engineer would construct a building. And it was really fantastic. And in the last segment, you recommended that people get a GI sling. I have to tell you, I have some kind of cool fancy slings and stuff. That GI sling really is. You guys have really figured out some great ways to employ that thing, and it's the cheapest sling. You could probably get one at a surplus store for about $1.50.
Yeah, if you can run them online, you can get them for $10-$15 for your dollar. I don't think there's a better rifle shooting assisting piece of equipment than a GI Web Sling.
Yeah, it for $15, really,
that thing is incredible.
Really is good. Yeah. And to get such a high level of training, such an efficient level of training, for all of $35 a day is just absolutely unheard of. That's the type of course, though, what you're running is a type of course some people will spend a few hundred dollars a day to get. So I just got to tell you, great. Anyhow, carry on with the program.
I appreciate that. And we get close up with a little benediction on Saturday. And then Sunday morning we come back, same thing, little introduction, review safety, get the rifles on the line, and then we shoot a red coat. And then we go through the points of instruction again, but we go through them rather quickly. And then we do what we have is called an AQD grind. One of my buddies back in lives back east that are the AQT is pounding out riflemen on the anvil of the AQT.
Yes, it is.
And we grind it through. And like I said, you've been to my shoots. I don't waste a lot of time. If things start to get a little bad, you know, scores start to go up a little bit, we'll mix it up and maybe shoot a fun little target. Maybe go back to shooting just some squares, get back to some fundamentals. Kind of break up the rhythm because it's you shoot like that all day, it'll wear you out.
I got to tell you, I was gassed on the first day. I was absolutely gassed on the first day. Yeah.
Yeah, people don't realize how strenuous it is. You know, a lot of people that have shot before maybe shot three or four rounds of their life in the prone or the cross-legged sitting position. You get in there 20, 30, 40 times a day, it'll wear you out.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, the other thing is that there's opportunities, since you're doing so much repetitive shooting to really hone in the skills, there's opportunities to actually take a break and not really shoot this round if you want to sit down, have a bottle of water,
oh,
and chill out.
Yeah, if you're getting tired, sit a round out. You know, we're going, we're just a bunch of guys and gals out there just trying to teach Americans little to be better shots and learn about their heritage. You know, we're not the Army. We're not the Marines.
And, you know,
take a break.
It's a great family thing, too. There were some families out there. Remember, there was a husband and his wife, and they had their daughter and son. So very good stuff. Eric, thank you very much for calling in. Appleseed Project is a fantastic thing. You and the guys that were out in Boulder City they did a great job. I really want to thank you very much and appreciate you calling and spending your valuable time. I know you're a business owner. You own your own business. So to take time out of your day to call in today, I really appreciate that.
Well, thank you, Bill. I appreciate you having me.
All right, man. And I'll see you out here in Nevada at the next Appleseed shoot in about a month, man. Take care.
That's right. February 6th and 7th.
That's
okay.
Right. Thanks. Alrighty. Guys, stay tuned. There's more to come right after the break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Dictators since 1917. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
I'll tell you about a guy that's taken himself to higher places. It's Sheriff Joe Arpaio of Maricopa County, Arizona. He's known as America's Sheriff, and he's also known as America's Toughest Sheriff or Toughest Sheriff in America. Maricopa County is where you would find Phoenix, Arizona. Now, any sheriff is an elected official. Sheriff Joe, as he's commonly referred to, he's commonly known as that. He gets reelected to the position of sheriff of Maricopa County time and time and time and time again. The reason is he's a hard ass. If you get arrested and you go to the Maricopa County Jail, especially if you're convicted and you have to do time in the county jail, it will not be easy time. You wear pink. You work on chain gangs. You have to pay for your meals. You get a little bit of pay for the work that you do, but you've got to pay for your meals. You get, let's see, the Supreme Court ruled that you have to be able to, you have to give, offer cable TV to the inmates, but they stopped at that. So he said, fine, because he had taken cable TV away. There's only two channels that you can get. One is a Disney channel, and the other is the Weather Channel. And then every night, a new message from Sheriff Joe comes out to all of the people in his jails. There is no caffeine, as in no coffee and no cola with caffeine in it, and there's no tobacco products allowed. And there's certainly not going to be any drugs in there. He has a very, very tight ship. And he says, look, if you don't like it here, don't come back. Just a great attitude. When there's overcrowding in the jails, he actually sets up these tent cities out in the yards on county property. He offers to have his guys go out there, I don't want to call them prisoners because it's not prison. His detainees actually go out and do community service projects and clean up areas. So this is a place where you do not want to go to jail. Sheriff Joe also realizes he's an elected official and the most powerful elected official in Maricopa County. So one of the things he does is he helps clean up Phoenix from illegal immigrants. Now, in Phoenix, being so close to the Mexican border, it's about a 2.5 hour drive, all right? So in this 2.5 hour drive, 180 miles or so from the border, there's a tremendous amount of Latino illegal immigrants from Mexico and from other countries south of Mexico. So Sheriff Joe was given, he was anointed some sort of federal authority to help do immigration cleanups. Well, the feds didn't like the way that he was going about it. So Janet Napolitano, the former governor of Arizona, rescinded his ability through Department of Homeland Security, which has Customs and Border Protection, said, yeah, we're going to take that away. Fine. A few hours later, he sent out a group of guys to go out there and do another sweep. The reason is there's laws in Arizona against illegal immigration. So he's simply arresting on those. Well, he now has a grand jury investigation to face because the feds don't much like Sheriff Joe. And here's the thing. Sheriff Joe, he is the ultimate authority when it comes to law enforcement in Maricopa County. But yet the feds are trying to give him a hard time. His constituents, which did not elect these federal regulators, they did elect Sheriff Joe over and over again. They like him. They like having him around. But the feds have their hair in a twist, so they're going after him. Here's a little bit of a story off of Fox News. It says two officials said Thursday night they've been subpoenaed to answer questions next week before a federal grand jury about a high-profile Arizona sheriff who gained attention for aggressively cracking down on illegal immigration. He just gained further attention for that. In a statement read by a county spokesman, Maricopa County Manager David Smith and Deputy County Manager Sandy Wilson said they met with a federal prosecutor to discuss the case and will testify on Wednesday. Wilson said the general subject of the inquiry was abuses by Sheriff Joe Arpaio's office. Neither Wilson nor Smith offered specifics and said county spokesman Richard DiUrnate, who spoke with the two officials Thursday night. That's last night. Arpaio was widely known for tough jail policies and pushing the bounds on local immigration efforts. He has led a dozen crime and immigration sweeps, some in heavily Latino areas. Critics allege that some of Arpaio's deputies racially profiled people during immigration sweeps, but Arpaio maintains that people pulled over in the sweeps were approached because deputies had probable cause to believe they had committed crimes. Now, if you're doing an immigration sweep, and the numbers show that the vast majority of illegal immigrants in your area are Latino, that's not racially profiling. What that is that is enforcing the laws. Now, the sheriff's spokesman, Brian Lee, said Arpaio was declining to comment on reports of the investigation. Quote, he has stated that he will conduct business as usual, Lee said, and you can bet your bottom dollar that he will. Sandy Rayner, a spokeswoman for the U.S. Attorney's Office in Phoenix, said she couldn't confirm or deny a grand jury investigation. Arpaio, he and an ally are embroiled in a nasty legal set of disputes with county officials and judges. Two county supervisors and one county judge have been criminally charged in investigations by Arpaio and County Attorney Andrew Thomas. Last month, Arpaio and Thomas filed a federal racketeering lawsuit against a group of county administrators, judges, and attorneys, accusing them of participating in a conspiracy to hinder an investigation into a $341 million court building under construction in the Phoenix area, and an investigation of the county supervisor Don Stapley, however you pronounce it. He was told in March that his office is being investigated by the U.S. Department of Justice over allegations of discrimination and unconstitutional searches and seizures. Arpaio has said he believes the investigation was spurred by his immigration efforts. Last year, Arpaio was stripped of some of his special authority to make federal immigration arrests, though he retains some federal power that allows his jail officers to speed up deportations. A half day after his powers were limited, he launched a crime and immigration sweep that has since continued his enforcement of state laws, banning immigration smuggling and prohibiting businesses from knowingly hiring illegal immigrants. So what Sheriff Joe does is he essentially raises his middle finger in a salute to the feds who say, well, we don't want you doing this in the name of the federal government. Fine. Forget about you. I am going to do this under the state laws. And even though the state laws mirrored the federal laws, they are really trying to go after Sheriff Joe for what would be laws that they don't want him to enforce. The federal government, the Obama regime, does not want illegals rounded up and deported. They just don't want it. Simply breathing air within the United States of America is a crime because you're in it, breathing that air. Not that the consumption of oxygen and then sending out of carbon dioxide is a crime, but being in this country and doing anything when you're here illegally, everything from there are just their fruits of that same illegal tree. So he's rounding them up and sending them out, and the Obama regime doesn't like that. Nobody in Washington likes it because everybody wants to find a way to take the tens of millions of illegal immigrants and pass some sort of immigration reform act, and whatever political party passes it, they feel that they're going to get the vast majority of the votes of these illegal immigrants. So if the Republicans pass it, they believe that they're going to get 25 million illegal immigrants voting Republican. If the Democrats pass it, they figure they're going to get 25 million illegal immigrants voting for them. Well, now they'd be legal. They're looking for amnesty. So all it is it's look out for what I can get out of this deal. Sheriff Joe doesn't really care. They're not voting for him. And if they could vote, they'd probably vote him out. But they're not voting for him. They can't vote. So the thing is the people of Maricopa County, Arizona, love their sheriff. They put him in there. They know what he does. They know that he's tough. And they know that he doesn't take any garbage from anyone because he's the ultimate supreme law enforcement authority in Maricopa County. He's very savvy. He's very smart. And he's very hard. And he does really walk the edge on most of the things that he does. But he's also very careful not to lean just that little bit over to the side. He's embroiled in all sorts of different lawsuits and investigations all the time because people don't like the way that he conducts himself. Well, to that I say, too bad. If there were more sheriffs like him, there would probably be more of a deterrent in crime. I've got to tell you, I don't even speed through Maricopa County when I drive through it because there is no way I want to get, for any reason, locked up in Maricopa County Jail. No way at all. I've never been arrested once in my entire life for any reason whatsoever. I certainly don't want that to happen in Maricopa County. Switching gears to another elected official, just to give you really the yin and the yang of elected officials. So we go from a very hardened, principled sheriff in Arizona to a scuzzbag in one of the just the dirtiest political cities in all of America, that being San Francisco, the city that they say is the most tolerant city in the United States. Now, it's tolerant if you want to stand up and give your unbelievably left-wing, anti-societal, anti-American views. They'll listen to you. But if you want to stand up on that same soapbox and preach things such as marriage is only for a man and a woman, no abortion, go to church and raise your family properly, you know, good, solid principles and morals, things that this country was were based on, they will kick you off of that soapbox and somehow try to charge you with some sort of violation of the First Amendment. So you can only exercise this tolerant part of the city if we're actually going to be doing anything against what the rest of America would look at. You know, it looks like we have Michael calling in from New York. So before we continue on with the start of San Francisco, Michael, welcome to 2A Radio.
Good morning, Bill. You know, Bill, this story with Sheriff Arpaio is great, and we have to exploit it and give it as much exposure as possible as the feds try to harass this guy for enforcing his state laws and doing his job for the people of Arizona in his county. And if we can keep exploiting this case and exposing it, because it's clearly proving how the federal government is totally disconnected with all the states in the United States and the Constitution, and they're clearly into this globalism crap. They clearly want foreigners to invade us illegally. They don't care at all. In fact, they want that. They do care. They actually prefer that. And that's why they're going after him, exclusively because he's picking off illegals left and right down there and taking care of it by law. And so the more more exposure this gets, the more we can prove that this in our country, that Americans can realize that our federal government is way out of control. They do not have our best interest in mind at all. They clearly serve a global agenda.
You know, Michael, I got to tell you, the federal government has gotten so big and so powerful illegally, might I add, by stealing away powers that were not given to them within the Constitution of the United States. They've gotten so big and so powerful, they don't seek, and they don't need the approval of you or me or any of the other 300 million people in this country. They are just so big, they have really become their own internal society that really is running what's going on behind the scenes and trying to use this large federal umbrella to control everything and everyone to the ideals of the folks who really put the big leaders in the federal level into office.
Yes, sir, Bill, exactly. And then when you ponder as to why that can be, the only conclusion that's accurate can be that our government at the federal level is really consisting of foreigners, foreign agents, and traitors that are born here, supposedly representing us when they get elected, but they sell us out, so they are the traitors. And then the rest are foreigners, all the way up to the executive level, clearly now with this guy that can't prove he's born in the United States, Barry Satoro, a.k.a. Insane Obama. And so this case is really, you know, the Fed, this goes to show also how stupid the feds are. You think they would not want to make a big deal out of this with Sheriff Arpaio because of the exposure it could possibly get. Even though they do control the media will spin it to the sheeple over the mainstream media that Sheriff Arpaio, bad. Federal government, good. And but, of course, if the details can come out, like on your show, the way you're covering it, and everybody else hopefully will, and then the American people, the sheeple, will have to realize, hey, this doesn't make sense. The federal government's going after a good guy. This guy is working for us. He has our interests clearly in mind.
Well, that's the thing, Michael, is what we've got is we've got the federal government, and you're saying they you would think that they wouldn't want to do this because of risk of exposure. They got Barry Satoro into office. They're not worried about exposure. They pulled off the biggest anti-American illegal coup in the history of this country by getting that guy in office with so many violations of the provisions of the Constitution of the United States and laws on the books federally and by each state, getting that guy in office, they could care. Sheriff Joe is just simply brushing dust off of their shoulder at this point.
It's true, Bill. I mean, they're that arrogant now. Maybe years back, they would be more hesitant about risking exposure for their true intentions again with towards us. But now they're so arrogant, they're so established, right? They pulled off the biggest coup with this loser we have as a acting as a president right now. And so, yes, they're very arrogant, and you're right. Absolutely right what you said, Bill. That's how bad in shape we are right now.
Now, Michael, can I count you in on the Washington, D.C. beatdown I was talking about starting on Christmas Eve?
I missed that one, Bill.
Oh, that's where the idea is to get several thousand Americans to go to Washington, D.C., march on it, go into the Capitol building and just beat the hell out of everybody that's in there.
Hey, I'm all into that, as long as we're allowed to bring rope.
Michael, thanks for the call. We're coming up on the break. Folks, stay tuned.
God bless.
Have a good weekend. We'll talk about this official in San Francisco after the break. Stay tuned.
Your right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back.
Back off, I'll take you on. Headstrong to take on anyone. I know that you are wrong if this is not where you belong.
Hi guys, in sharp contrast to the stand-up effort of an elected official like Sheriff Joe Arpaio, in San Francisco, an official there, a San Francisco supervisor who is known for outrageous behavior, reportedly cursed at a city hall meeting and then promised to use profanities during every board meeting for the remainder of 2010. His campaign promise is to use profanities at board meetings. Not do things that are good for the people of San Francisco. Not try to come up with any specific cause that's important to the people that are his constituents, but to act like a child scumbag, just a derelict. And his promise to the people is to use profanities at city hall meetings. Chris Daly said he was upset about a Bay Guardian newspaper article taking the supervisor to task about his previous usage of the FU during a rules committee meeting on Thursday, according to CBS5.com. He says, "I do want to warn the easily offended," Daly said. "I just updated my Facebook page, vowing that in 2010 I'll use the word F, the F word, in every board of supervisors meeting." Now, asked if he was serious, Daly told CBS5, quote, "It was serious as far as spur of the moment Facebook status updates go, and have a happy new year." David Chu, president of San Francisco's Board of Supervisors, said he was checking to see if Daly's pledge violated any city rules or regulations. Chu also asked Daly not to use that kind of language and left a bar of soap at Daly's office. "I told him that I thought he could do better," Chu told CBS5.com. A spokesman for San Francisco Mayor Gavin Newsom suggested that Daly's colleagues start a swear jar to make Daly pay for every time he uses profanity during official meetings. Now, here's the deal. Even if David Chu, president of the Board of Supervisors in San Francisco, does find a violation of the city rules or regulations, I guarantee you what Chris Daly's going to do is file some sort of federal action for his First Amendment rights. This is the type of garbage going on with the people who have... It's such a Peter principle. They've gone so far that now they're an elected official that this is what they're focusing on. These are the efforts and energy. And I got to tell you, I guarantee if David Chu, president of the Board of Supervisors, is taking time going through any of the rules or regulations, he's probably paying staffers to do it. This is now costing the city money because this guy, Chris Daly, is just being a derelict piece of garbage. I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you, and Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule. Folks, thanks for tuning in this week, listening to 2A Radio. I'll be back on Monday. Stay tuned for the Lenman News Hour coming up next, followed by the Ernest Hancock Show. Have a great weekend.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will your freedoms? The 2A Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.